Footy Roundup, post-World Cup edition. Matty, it's basically the post-mortem of the tournament now. We spent so much time prepping and preparing for the World Cup to arrive. We were really excited, and then you blink and it's over, just like that.
Yeah, 1 month, been and gone. We have a new World Cup champion in Germany, and I mean, overall, a fantastic tournament, Rob.
It really was. It was a tournament of ups and downs, highs and lows. What did you think of the finals, Matt? What were your thoughts on the match?
I think the best team won. I think Germany were in control from the start until the end. I mean, they had 60% of the possession. I think they created the better opportunities as well throughout the game. And it's nice as well that the tournament ended, you know, in extra time. Didn't have to be decided on penalties, as we've seen in recent
times. I agree. I
wanted
to see that, too.
You know, when Italy won, it was on penalties. So, yeah, I think the best team won. I think Argentina played pretty well, but I don't think they were really any match with Germany in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I thought Argentina were good and solid, which they have been for large portions of this tournament, but simply Germany were just better. And like what we talked about last week, we mentioned that if both teams play their best game, Argentina loses. I don't think Argentina played their best game. I don't necessarily think Germany played theirs either,
no,
but it was still more than enough.
Just Germany were the better team overall. Like you said, they didn't play their best game. Maybe neither did Argentina, but I think even if Argentina had played their best game, I'm still not convinced they would have beaten Germany. I think Germany were just a cream of the crop from the get-go here. I mean, they showed that in their first game of the tournament with their win over Portugal, and they kind of carried on from there. And they fully deserve to be World Cup champions, in my opinion.
But a quick look at the scorecard, Matt. Last week, I think we discussed and I told you that I thought this game was going to be much closer than the general public thought.
Yeah.
And here we were again. Like, Argentina was right there. I mean, Messi had a couple of really close chances. He was right in there. Higuain really should have nicked a goal. It could have changed the whole dynamic of the match.
He did have a goal. It was disallowed as well.
Yeah, that's true. On the offside, I mean, I think it was the right call, of course. But Argentina weren't without their opportunities. Statistically, for large stretches, they were dominated. But I think when they did come forward on the counterattack, they were legitimately dangerous in their own right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, it just wasn't enough for them to prevail against the superior side.
I think that Higuain miss is what kind of set up the game, to be honest, because he puts Argentina at 1-0.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And suddenly Germany really have to start pressing.
And I think it was Cruz who did that nonsensical header back
right
to him.
Yeah, it was him, yeah. I mean, I think if Argentina had taken the lead there, you would have seen Germany have to press more. And, I mean, Argentina kind of played on the counterattack anyway.
Yeah.
But if they had that lead there, I think they would have been even more dangerous moving forward as Germany tried to press. And obviously, as you mentioned, the disallowed goal, I mean, Higuain was, what, a foot and a half, 2 feet offside. It wasn't, you know, up for debate. So, and then obviously around half time, then we also have Hauidas, whose header comes ricocheting off the post. I mean, he really should have scored, though, to be honest.
Yep. I mean, you could have made a fair case at that point. The game should have been 1-1, so a tie
right
at the half, still probably fair for the way of the balance of play.
Right, and then, I mean, Messi had a good chance in the early portion of the second
Argentina,
half.
Argentina, I think, started really hot in the first 5 to 10 minutes of that second half. I thought they were really taking the game, and it felt almost like they were going to grab that lead.
Right, and then I think Germany kind of just took a time out there for 5 minutes and was like, okay, hang on, boys. You know, we are a better team here. We've played well in the first half. Let's keep our composure and move forward. And they created some chances, you know, in the second half, but I guess the biggest chance, you know, from the second half onwards, Rob, was probably a Palacios lob in the extra time frame before Götze's winner.
Yep, I agree with you on that one. But I don't know, there's not much more I think we can really say about it. Like, at the end of the day, the one good thing is controversy and, you know, World Cup other issues aside, we can agree vociferously the best team are World Cup champions, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I would go as far as say this is actually probably the best World Cup I've probably ever seen. Like, from start to finish in all my years, so you know.
Why do you say this one?
It was so entertaining. There was controversy. There was brilliance.
It's like a Scorsese movie almost.
There was goals. There was red cards. There was teammates fighting. It just everything happened. You know, some big countries went home early, like England, Spain, and
Brazil's implosion.
Costa Rica's run. I mean, there were great things, and I think it was also, you know, I quickly mentioned there were some great goals, which we'll touch on again in a little bit. But I think Götze's winner was a perfect way to end this World Cup. A lovely play from Schürrle down the left wing.
And not to mention, actually, another highlight close to beating the record.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it was Germany's party, really, from the get-go, right? I mean, and Götze's winner, beautiful chest down and volley. It's just a great, great goal to finish.
For unpredictability, who would have thought that Ghana and Algeria would have given them the hardest push?
Yeah, I know, and especially when they played, you know, Argentina and Portugal and USA and all these other teams.
So I guess my next question would be
Brazil, too.
Where does Argentina go from here? It was a not great performance, but I mean, they finally seem to have taken that next step. They got stuck in getting eliminated at the quarters from multiple tournaments in a row. I don't think their fans are going to, or, you know, even the team are going to feel any real consolation at coming in second here, especially on Brazilian soil. I think they would have loved to have won. And then even the Messi factor, like he was fantastic for half the tournament and then kind of like, like great in spurts, but he just wasn't producing the way he did early on.
I didn't think he was all that great from the knockout stage onwards. I mean, he scored 4 goals in the tournament and all 4 goals came in
first
the group
three games,
stage. He did nothing really. I mean, he created some opportunities, don't get me wrong, but in terms of being the goal scorer, I mean, look at that free kick he had in the, you know, in the last minute of the final. Just plows it 15 feet over the bar. I mean, I think the whole world stood there waiting. This is really going to be Messi's moment, and he just imploded on that spot. I just didn't think he had a great second half of the World Cup, and I mean, I don't think Argentina, you know, Higuain kind of got better as the tournament went on.
The Di Maria loss hurt them
a lot.
Yeah,
that really did.
Like, I felt creatively too much was now really forced onto Messi. It almost became a de facto Neymar situation for them, where if, like, Messi doesn't single-handedly do something, Argentina's not scoring.
Right, and Lovetzi was, you know, who's more of a striker, kind of ended up playing more of a winger, and he didn't do much all tournament.
Aguero.
The same again, right? He had a goal somewhere along the line. But I just... He had to go on the penalty shootout, actually, in the semifinals. But for me, it's just like, I moving forward for Argentina, I'm not I think this might have been where this run ends for this team to an extent. Because if you look at their team just from what started in the final, you know, Demichelis is getting up there. Pablo Zabaleta is getting up
there. Mascherano was fantastic, but he's not getting younger.
Exactly. Yeah. He had a great tournament. He's not exactly getting younger. You know, Campagnaro at the back. I mean, they have some other good pieces, you know, moving forward. Aguero's still, obviously... young and good. Messi, you know, we know what he's about.
Lovetzi, we should expect another good tournament out of Messi.
Maxi Rodriguez.
I would probably
expect at least two more. I just don't think as a team Argentina, I don't see them winning a World Cup. I don't see them going to Russia and winning a World Cup. I will say that right now. It's just, I think that's going to be a European team who will win the World Cup in Russia. But I just don't see Argentina. I thought they were terrible throughout the group stages with last minute goals, kind of just getting by. And I mean, to be fair, Rob, like you said, they didn't lose once all tournament until the final.
They trailed 7 minutes this whole
total
tournament.
And that
was the last 7 minutes of overtime.
113th minute of extra
time. If that's
time.
Horrible, I don't know. I think a lot of countries would take that level
right.
of horrible.
Right. I think for Argentina, though, I don't think it was the Argentina that they wanted us to see and what we expected to see.
No, they
by
did become
by
very
penalties, last-minute goals.
They're very pragmatic, I think.
Yeah,
they
became
more results-oriented and not, you know, the attractive, you know, stereotypical
right.
South American
But, you
football.
Know, when you had... Iran, who they scored in literally the last minute, last kick of the game from Messi, that wasn't expected. Then they had a shootout with Nigeria of all teams. I just didn't think overall they were
impressive.
They got
good fortune against Bosnia too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, they get through on penalties against Holland in the semis, and it just, for me, they were good, but they weren't all that impressive. I wouldn't say, you know, I don't think they were the second best team in the tournament. Let's just say that.
I think they were, but just by default. I mean, the only team I could argue...
In theory, yes.
I would argue maybe the Netherlands, but I don't see any other team on paper performance-wise that did more than Argentina. I mean,
right.
At the end of
Colombia.
The day in a tournament, like we've talked about, Matt, like you, to some extent, you got to make your own luck. Like if they got there and they earned the results to get there, and you know, not looking that great for large stretches aside, they were still 7 minutes away from a flip of a coin to win a World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think they have a lot to be proud of for this performance. Their optimism for me has to come from the mentality of they've kind of gotten over a mental hurdle now. Messi as well knows he can kind of take his game a little bit to the next level, and they got to just hope they can build on something going forward from that.
He better get help though moving forward.
Yeah,
like, you know, Aguero, like Copa America,
someone's gotta,
you know, when that rolls around next time, you know, they need some help from Higuain, Lovetzi and Aguero and these guys. I guess also on the flip side, looking at Germany, I mean, surely they go into Russia as a favorite even right now, right?
I was gonna say even the Euro Cup, they got to be the undisputed
well, that too,
favorite
as well,
too in France,
I mean,
right?
I mean, that you just still look at their team, and it's so young and so great. I mean, they didn't have Marco Reus here, who I picked as one of the going to be in my team of the tournament team, and they didn't even seem to miss him in a heartbeat. You know,
how good was Schürrle off the bench too this tournament?
Unbelievable! Yeah. He had such a great tournament. I mean, Chelsea must be licking their chops at having him back.
I mean, look at the Euros. Like, who else jumps out to you? For me, I don't know that Netherlands is going to be back if you look at the roster of players. Like, this feels like this was their last kind of kick. Not that it was Germany's last kick, but they've kind of had the same core of players who haven't been able to go to the next level. I mean, look at the roster for the Netherlands. Robin, Van Persie, Dirk Kuyt.
Schneider.
How much more can you get out of these guys?
I think their World Cup might be done, like for 2018. I think
maybe a Euro
it,
they can
But
still,
I think they might still squeak in a Euro. You know, they'll be one of the favorites. I think in other teams,
France,
Belgium would be up there too.
For sure.
I guess you got to put Spain down
as a
probably
bounce back if they go younger
capacity.
Yeah,
maybe hopefully England, Croatia might show up, which would be nice.
It'd be nice
Portugal
for us.
Too. Portugal needs to show up because they were disappointed in this tournament. So, but I mean Germany as a whole, they're so young. Thomas Müller, Kroos, Ozil still at the back. Mats Hummels for me was actually player of the tournament. We'll get to that in a bit later.
I think we talked on one of the first couple shows. You agreed with me too, Maddie. We said that Schweinsteiger is the wild card for this team to go all the way and to be influential and take that next step. How about his performance in the final?
He was fantastic.
He was a broken man, bleeding, bruised, battered, but not swayed at all.
You think that guy wanted to win a World Cup? Yeah. Holy moly. That guy put everything on the line.
He's the heart of that German team, no question.
He was phenomenal. He had an absolute outstanding World Cup, but a World Cup final for the ages. He really was excellent.
What about the third place match? I mistakenly put my neck on the Brazilians again. Second horrible letdown from this team. I mean, if I'm a Brazilian fan, I think more than anything, I'm just disgraced by what to me is unquestionably just a team that quit.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. They've conceded 10 goals in the last two games, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, they were shocking. I mean, falling behind after 3 minutes against the Netherlands was just a disaster.
You know that they became the team to give up the most goals in a World Cup, and it was at home soil?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know the last two games had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, well,
still.
10 goals will do that for you, right? I think, yeah, Brazil were awful. I also felt that Holland played really, really well. Like, they seemed to want this game.
They did. We said it was going to come down to, psyche and mentality, and I think it really did. Like, the Dutch still wanted to get something out of this tournament.
There's two ways you can approach that game. Both can be like, well, this means nothing, so we'll just naff off and run around for 90 minutes. Or you can really be like, you know what? Heck, let's try and win this thing.
Get a medal is never a bad showing for anybody at the end of the day. And maybe not in the moment you're frustrated, but long term, trust me, Julio Cesar probably won't be back for Brazil. He'd rather have that medal in his pocket after failing in Brazil.
Yeah, and I don't question you whatsoever. But, Van Persie puts them up 1-0 after 3 minutes, then the defender, blind of all players, scores a nice little rocket with a right footer.
Speaking of blind, there was David Luiz involved in more stupidity on that play.
Yeah, again. He had an interesting tournament, to say the least.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting seeing him going forward. Maybe he'll recover for club team, but he just looked like a complete and utter shell-shocked, broken man in those last two games. It was like
he did.
It was pathetic and painful to watch, honestly. Like, it was someone completely out of their depth, and he couldn't help but do something bad almost every time he touched the ball.
I've actually quite enjoyed watching Luiz play at Chelsea the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure.
Quite enjoy his game. He isn't afraid to get forward, and he kind of runs around like a headless chicken, let's be honest. But, he gets stuck in. He doesn't really mess around too much, but he looked all sorts of lost these last two games, and I don't think he personally recovered from that.
And Hulk
game.
Was just a disaster.
Well, Fred
was probably the worst player in the tournament.
Thankfully, announced his international retirement. Although I'm sure some will dispute that probably happened before the tournament began because
yeah,
of how irrelevant
it was. MIA,
he was.
Yeah. The one guy I think that stood out for me, and I'll give him some credit for a bounce back and fight. Oscar played good in that match against the Netherlands.
Oscar, I thought, played quite well. Period.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. He was a little hit and miss. He was great in the first game and had his moments in other games where he was good and then kind of disappeared, but I thought in the final, he laid it all out there. He created, he had some chances, and I think if some of his other fellow teammates showed a little bit more heart like he did, that at minimum would have been a much closer third-place match.
Yeah, you may have been. I think Holland were just a superior team that day. 3-0 may have been, that last goal in the last minute by Wijnaldum might have
them
just
a little
been
bit,
flattering,
I think, yeah.
But Brazil didn't really seem to care at some point. By halftime, it seemed almost so.
Ultimately, I mean, you can probably agree with me on this one. Brazil didn't deserve any more than they got.
No, yeah. You give up 10 goals in two games in the semifinal
on home
third
soil,
place
no
game.
Less. Yeah,
you deserve what you get in the end. So it was a mind blowing finale from Brazil. I don't think anyone. I mean, I had Germany beat them in the semis. But no one had 7-1, and then for them to implode that game and then not even show up against Holland or the Netherlands. I mean, it just summed up their tournament, and that was all she wrote in Brazil, I guess.
Maddie, moving on to a couple of the awards.
Yeah.
James Rodriguez, what a revelation this man was in this
Brilliant.
Tournament.
Yeah.
He won the Golden Boot. He was able to hold off Müller, I believe it was, right? Who
yeah,
was the one kind
Rodriguez
of nipping at his heels.
Had six, and Müller had five goals.
Yeah, so he was able to hold him off there. One of my young guns, Paul Pogba, ended up winning Youngster of the Tournament.
He did. Good call on that front.
He did well.
21 and under, so some of the other guys we pipped in there, the 23, weren't quite...
But Memphis Depay was on there, and he was good for the Dutch, too.
He had a good tournament, yeah. And Raphael Varane had a really,
yes, he did,
really
for sure.
good tournament for France. So.
I mean, the goalkeeper award, we discussed this one. You're a little bit more on the side of Neuer deserving it. I
think in the end, yes.
I mean, they won the tournament, so I guess it's hard to dispute, and he's a great keeper. But I look at something like what Tim Howard did. Mm-hmm. I look at what Navas did, and I say, where are those teams without their keepers? I think Germany could have won this game.
Well,
yeah, I think Germany could have won this game or the tournament with their backup keeper, honestly.
I will be honest. I would have given it to Neuer myself. But he had an interesting tournament in some capacity. He seemed to want to run out of his box with regularity and just kick balls away, and which for a goalkeeper is really unconventional. And
oh, his Higuain moment too was knee to the back of the skull.
Well, that too. But I mean, just in general, like his play seemed erratic at times, and he didn't seem to want to catch. But at the end of the day, how many goals did he concede?
Yeah,
a handful. I mean, not many. And I guess
when
your team wins.
I guess it's perspective too, Maddie, like how you know want to divvy up the award.
Right.
I look at an award like, where would a team be without this man? Like, uh-huh. I can't help but come back to the States and, you know, your Belgium pick and what Howard did to them was beyond ridiculous.
Right.
Like, he made, I think they had as many shots in that game as USA had the whole tournament.
I think Neuer played well, but what you just said, if they had Weidenfeller in goal, I would still probably have said Germany would have won the World Cup anyway.
Yeah. Right? And to me,
like,
that's what sways it to
another
direction.
The Howard situation. I mean, I got Sergio Romero came in third on this list. I don't know, FIFA, whatever you have to say,
I guess. To whatever, how about Messi winning player of the tournament?
Farce. I mean, he wasn't the best player in this tournament. Like, how do you give best player in a tournament to a man who didn't score once knockout stages began in four games?
What do you think of Diego Maradona's comments?
He's right. It's a publicity stunt. It's FIFA being like, well, Lionel.
For the listeners, maybe go into what you know the gist of what Maradona said, for anyone who doesn't know.
Basically, Maradona said that it was a publicity stunt on FIFA's behalf to give Messi the trophy for best player of the tournament. It's kind of almost like a makeup for not winning.
And purposes of marketing as well, I think.
I think he added that in too. It's a farce. I mean, like I was saying, I don't know how you can give a best player of the tournament to a guy who didn't score once after the knockout stage. Once the knockout stage has begun, that's four games. You know, I mean, yes, his team made the final, but I mean, Rodriguez should have got it ahead of him, in my opinion. Mueller, I said at the top of the show, for me, Mats Hummels was player of the tournament. That's how good he was. He was in my team of the 11 before. He's my favorite center half to start
in
the world. Robin would have been a good choice too, but for me, Hummels is just, he's so good defensive. He scores goals. He was the best player of this tournament for me. I think Rodriguez probably would have got it if maybe Colombia made it maybe closer to the semis. But no, Messi... No.
He's not a bad choice to me, but I mean, instantly off the hop, you can think of five or six names more deserving. So it's the wrong choice, ultimately.
It is. It's nothing more than just FIFA being like, well.
FIFA being FIFA in some regards.
I'm sorry
I guess.
You didn't win the World Cup this time, but here is the best player of the tournament. I mean, even he probably knows himself.
In his defense, did he look like he really wanted the award?
You know, you look at the other nominees, like the ranking was Messi, Mueller, Robin. Messi obviously not at the top. Mueller and Robin, I think, have a good case. But, you know, like, Angel Di Maria didn't play two games, so, okay. Toni Kroos, Neymar scored four goals, but really, how good was he in the grand scheme of things?
I think you could almost make a better case for, at least in the knockout stages, that Mascherano was the best Argentine anyways.
Yeah.
He was destroying and, like, breaking everything up, and we saw his one unfortunate injury against the Dutch where, let's just say, he pulled his backside on the play. That's how much he was, you know, sacrificing for the team. I think he was more influential in the knockout stages than Messi was.
Yeah, he scored the same amount of goals.
And prevented a lot more of them.
Well, exactly. I don't know. I think that's a farce, but anyway.
So moving on, what else stands out to you on the best list? We mentioned, you know, James Rodriguez to me is the no-brainer. This was his coming out party. This was his introducing himself, you know, on the grandest stage to the world football fans. I think you got to say Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean, even still, I think about it. I'm like, how did Costa Rica get
every time
out
I say the words Costa Rica, I need everyone to know this, to Matt, his eyes almost go cross-eyed, and he pauses for 2 seconds to try to figure out how to even answer the question.
I have to decompose what is being said to me whenever that comes up.
Costa Rica's a soft spot for you.
Hold me until, at least until European qualifying begins again, and I can see England get on that field and try and make up for a nightmare of a World Cup.
But they were fantastic.
I mean, Costa Rica were great. I mean, you know, they knock off Greece in the round of 16. They lose on penalties to Holland in the quarters. They were a lot of fun. It was nice to see a good team do that well. So, yeah, they were one of our, you know, we have written down like our best surprises away or best performances. So Costa Rica fall into that group. We touched on Germany as well.
Yeah, but Germany with this core of players finally getting over the hump. It seems maybe odd to consider Germany, not really a surprise, but they finally achieved what they set out to achieve and what's expected of them to achieve. When the expectations are there, like we talked about when Costa Rica was a favorite, how things get a little bit more tricky. Like, the target's always on Germany's back. And this time they came through in, like, flying colors.
Well, Joachim Löw's got them close so many times at World Cups and Euros. Like, you know,
I think his head was on the line if they didn't win here in some ways.
In a way, but then how do you fire this guy?
I know. Right? They make the quarters of every tournament.
Heck, even into the semis. Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, he deserves it, Joachim Löw does, because of how well he's worked and how this team has come together. I mean, Germany is the prime example of going youthful. And you see other teams, I know England are trying to do it now, to not nowhere near the amount of success, but Germany went youthful, what, 4 or 5 years ago? With these, like, 18, 19-year-old kids. And now you see, you know, Roos and Schürrle, and, I mean, Müller as well, obviously.
And
Draxler,
they have a good mix of them, too. I remember when Ozil was the up-and-coming young gun, too, and now he's becoming
the
vet.
The old guy on the team. I mean, what is he, like, 28? I mean, he's not up there in terms of age. I mean, this Germany team moving forward is going to be great. I guess another part of this tournament, Rob, was how many memorable goals were there in this event?
So many. I guess it depends on the context of the goal. My favorite goal, probably overall, just as a goal, not considering, you know, the situation it was scored in, was Cahill's.
Yeah.
I think Cahill's was unreal. Like, as a striker, when I used to play the one-touch volley, a halfway pass, like shelf like he did.
It's so hard. I feel like there's four options for goal tone. You have Cahill's.
Van Persie.
Van Persie's header, and the two goals Rodriguez scored, the volley and the chip that he had.
Rodriguez is against Uruguay. I think when you take into account the moment, might edge out Cahill's for me. But just as an individual goal, I would give it to Cahill, I think.
Yeah, I think if you go overall, I mean, what RVP did that was so hard. Good. And it's so... Oh.
And just the marketing, the Flying Dutchman?
Yeah, it's literally perfect for Holland and the Netherlands. Like, I don't know, if I had to pick goal of the tournament, I would... Oh, man, it's such a tough call. I'd probably go Rodriguez. The volley, although I think his chip was so good too, and it's tough.
You can't go wrong with any of them.
You can't go wrong with
any
of those four. And even you throw in
the free
David
kick
Luiz's
from Luiz,
free kick. Jermaine Jones' rocket against
Portugal's
Portugal.
Fantastic.
Dos Santos' goal against Holland. There were so many good goals, but you can't go wrong with goal of tournament. It comes down. I mean, I'm sat here still thinking about this, trying to figure out what I think goal of tournament might be. So
the other one that jumps out to me, Matt, from some of the best performances, I think you got to give Holland some credit here. In their second tournament, they've made the final four. You know, they lost in 2010. Then they get right back at it again. Not too many people fancied them to go this far. I mean, I certainly didn't. I thought maybe quarters was the limit for this team if they got out. But they did a great job, and they managed to get third for the first time in their history, which isn't anything, you know, to scoff at.
Right.
It's still a medal, and I'm telling you, at the end of the day, third is a heck of a lot nicer than fourth, and you got to win third.
It is. I mean, Holland, you know, it caps off another great tournament for them. It's disappointing they didn't make the final, but I didn't think they deserved it in that semifinal so much. But, I mean, overall, they're sticking around. Louis van Gaal has done a great job with that team. He goes to Man United now. He had his introductory press conference.
Be interested
earlier
to see how that goes forward with them.
I think that'd be fine. Yeah. That's a great hire for United.
I agree. And just, I mean, how quickly he can get them back to being quote-unquote United.
Oh, I would. I mean, we'll start talking about the Premier League and other leagues moving forward after today's show. But I think you can almost pinpoint United as maybe title favorites already with Van Gaal.
But just like that, eh?
Just like that. I think that's how good he can be and what he's done in the
transfer
market.
Maybe we'll get another David Moyes cartoon peeking in from the background.
Yeah, maybe. So, I mean, I think Holland, you know, overall, it's just it caps off what's been a good tournament. As you mentioned, I think they could probably compete at Euro 16, but they have to start developing a bit more younger talent if they want to.
Attacking talent, too.
Attacking, yeah. Because, I mean, Schneider and Robin will... I'm sure they'll probably still feature in the next World Cup, assuming
Schneider,
they're healthy.
I don't know. Robin, yeah. Van Persie, yeah. I don't know. I think Schneider will still be on the team, but even this tournament, you could see his game was kind of dipping down a little bit. He wasn't the Schneider
Robin. I think Robin had a great tournament.
Oh, he was fantastic. I mean, I could do without a lot of his theatrics. Yeah, he's almost like a junior. I don't want to lump him to this. A junior Suarez, kind of, with a little bit of the stupidity.
Every time I watch Robin, I get so frustrated with defenders because I'm like, you know he's going in on his left foot.
Every time.
Still can't stop him. That's how good he is.
And he's so fast, too.
Oh, yeah. He's
like, his speed
great
is
player.
Just ridiculous.
Just great player.
I guess some of the lowlights, Matt, for me, you know, we've talked about this one without getting into a ton of detail. I think there's been a lot of officiating controversy, not just in the opening match. You know, you saw it Brazil-Croatia, the controversy, Mexico-Cameroon, you know, the two offside goals disallowed. We saw, I guess, Ivory Coast and Greece too, right?
Worst decision in the World Cup.
Are there any other moments like that that jump out to you? I know there were a few.
There was a Dzeko offside.
Yeah, the Dzeko one that cost Bosnia progression too.
Yeah.
That one was terrible.
Joel Campbell against Italy had a...
Oh, Chiellini took him down the box and the ref gave nothing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess in the end, Costa Rica won that game, so it's by and by.
Just served there, yeah.
My biggest problem with the officiating, Rob, is that we have this global event, which is fantastic, and we bring in these global refs, no problem. But when you have, say, let's say hypothetically England playing Italy, you need a European referee. Or when you play Brazil, play Uruguay, you need South American referees. You can't be having England... Say Croatia play Germany, and you can't be having a referee from Paraguay or Japan.
But they say that FIFA says they're doing that to have no bias. Like, they take someone from a different continent, but then they're not used to the style of play, too.
That's exactly it. You know, when you see Italy play England or Italy, Germany, France, Netherlands, whatever, European referees know how the European game is played.
Yeah. Give me a Howard Webb or a, you know, Kalina in his day, you know?
I missed that guy tremendously.
He was the best, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, aside from the officiating, Rob, I guess there was also some pretty moronic plays during this World Cup. Let's start off, I guess, with Mr. Suarez.
Yeah, the guy gets a chapter of his own. After basically insinuating and stating that he stumbled and his tooth fell into Chiellini, which is the most ridiculous thing.
Worst defense.
Not 48 hours later, basically, or maybe it was within 72 hours, they came out with the statement. I think his reps, or it might have been Liverpool as a team, he had that long-winded apology that he acknowledges his actions were wrong, he's going to be better for next time. Got to think that's just PR type stuff. You know, they're trying to sell him. They did sell him incidentally to Barcelona.
Which is really funny because you're selling a player who can't train to a team who's technically not allowed to be buy-in players, which is just a fiasco from FIFA's end.
We never hear about fiascos from FIFA, right?
I'm throwing my hands up in the air because
I'm slowly turning my friend Matty here into a little bit more of a cynic, everybody.
How can a player who isn't physically allowed to play get signed by a team who's physically not allowed to buy? Mind blown.
You tell me.
Insane.
They just get their own chapter for that. Other selfishness, I mean, we saw Pepe's stupidity.
Idiot.
Alex Song against Mandzukic just throws the game away for Cameroon.
Maxi Pereira against England gets himself sent off.
What do you say about him?
Idiot. It's just like, that Pereira one was just, like, you last minute of the game and you get yourself sent off and you miss the rest of the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, well done. Like, really. And, like, Song and Pepe were just morons. I mean, getting yourself sent off, selfish plays, hurt their team.
I think even though, you know, Brazil overall put on a great tournament as a host country, they have to be lumped in here with the worst. And I think most of their fans would agree. Like,
which is shocking.
It was such a sickening performance in back-to-back games. I think it was 64 years they hadn't lost back-to-back games on home soil. And then they wait for the semis and the third place match at home.
Twice. Yeah.
Just brutal. Like, that team quitting and just not fighting and rolling over in front of your own fans, I think there's no excuse for that. No matter how bad something's going, you keep fighting in front of your own crowd.
Yeah, I completely. I mean, they rolled over and that was all she wrote, I guess. I mean, I guess to conclude our World Cup chapter of our show, just some final thoughts from me is just, you know, a fantastic World Cup. You couldn't have asked for anything better, I don't think. Just there was so much excitement. You just didn't want to miss a game. You wanted to tune in every time, no matter who was playing, because you just never knew what was going to happen. And that's what makes, you know, soccer, football, you know, one of the top incredible sports in the world. And the World Cup is arguably the greatest sporting event that we have. So, brilliant tournament.
I enjoyed it as well. I find a hard time comparing tournaments. Like, whenever people say, you know, this is the best World Cup, I feel like that's what was said 4 years ago and 4 years before that, because everyone just remembers.
I don't think anyone was saying that after South Africa.
No, but I mean, like, you know, France 98, 2006 in Germany,
really,
like,
yeah,
even USA 94 got rave reviews too. It kind of brought the game to North America.
Right.
So I'm kind of like leery and I hesitate in saying it's the best World Cup. I will say this, it was one of the most entertaining World Cups.
That was,
I mean, we tied the goal record, stunningly. Couldn't beat it.
Which shocked me.
That was 171, I believe, the total was tied. Yeah. And at least that happened and it didn't go to shootouts. But there's no question, it was extremely entertaining. I could have done without a little bit of the theatrics and some of the Suarez type stuff. But, you know, on the other side, it's almost like media exposure and controversy, brings attention.
Right.
So it even gets more eyes on the tournament that maybe wouldn't have been there otherwise. So I agree with you, Matty. It was very entertaining, to say the least. And I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that I'm sad that it's kind of over. I feel a little bit empty now. I know we still have other soccer to look forward to, but it's such a spectacle that we wait so patiently as fans of, you know, a bunch of different countries all around the world to kind of enjoy and revel in together, and then you just blink and it's gone.
Yeah, that's what makes it so appealing though, every 4 years, right?
Yeah.
But alas, footy roundup will be continuing. We are not shutting down because the World Cup's over.
We're shifting gears. We're
shifting
not shutting
gears
up shop.
Is a
yeah.
Great term to use here. So we're gonna start looking at some transfer news come next week. There's been a lot of big signings.
Too much to even get into today.
A lot of money to be spent. The Premier League season, Rob, starts in less than a month, so we'll get that train rolling, as well as, you know, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, and of course here in Toronto we got MLS and TFC.
Yeah, we're going to kick our MLS coverage into a little bit high gear. It's kind of been on the back burner, understandably, with the World Cup, but we'll be getting into that full force, of course, with primarily a focus on the Canadian teams. So thank you guys all for listening again. We'll be back with you next week, same time. Cheers.